Shalom. Today, the 20th of Sivan of the year 5777, corresponding to the 14th of June of the year 2017, we now come to the 22nd chapter of Masechet Shabbat, Mishneh Shabbat, and we will be dealing in this chapter with several issues relating to squeezing of liquids out of solids, as well as some related issues which connects with what we had studied in the previous chapter about the use of a sponge on the Shabbat to absorb water. And we saw that if a sponge did not have a handle, one cannot even use it to mop up something. A sponge in itself is not intrinsically muktzeh, but we do not encourage the use of a sponge where the person would come to squeeze the liquid out of it for the reason that this is a violation of the prohibition against the labor of dash, of the separation of one thing from another. Since the liquid was absorbed in the sponge, when it is squeezed out, then it is separated from the sponge, and this relates to issues about squeezing of fruit juices or juice that exudes from fruits, as we shall see in our chapter. So we begin with something that takes our minds back to the beginning of chapter 16, called Kisvei HaKodesh, all the holy writings, which spoke about what one can rescue from a fire on Shabbat. And our Mishnah now speaks about a related issue to that. What could you do if you had a barrel that had got broken or cracked on the Shabbat, be it a barrel of wine or oil or some other precious liquid that you want to save? And how much can you save on the Shabbat, and how may you save it? Chovis shenishbaro, if there was a barrel that got broken, matzilin emeno mezoin sholosh seudos, they may save from it food for three meals of the Shabbat. Vo'omer la'achirim, the person may tell others, bo v'hatzilu lochem, you come and save for yourselves. He knows and they know that it is his liquid, but he's saying, well, you can take it for yourselves if you wish. I know you will probably want to return it to me after the Shabbat. We cannot allow the person to collect more than three meals, because in the person's consternation, they might start mopping up the liquid. And our Mishnah says, uvilvad shelo yispog, you may collect the liquid on condition that you do not try to mop it up with a sfog, with some kind of sponge-like a material that's going to absorb the liquid, because that would lead the person to violate the prohibition against schita, the squeezing out of liquid. And that leads us to a number of other issues with the squeezing of liquids and juices. Ein suichatin es apeirois lehoitzi mehen mashkin. We do not squeeze out fruits to extract from them their juices, liquids. Ve'im yatzu me'atzmon asurin. And if the juices came out by themselves, if the pieces of fruit were lying in a dish and the juice was exuding by itself, asurin, those liquids on the Shabbat are forbidden. The fear is that if we permit the person to use on that Shabbat juices that flowed out by themselves, then he may come to squeeze the fruits in question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imla Ochelin, Rabbi Judah says, if the fruits had been gathered in and prepared for consumption as food, solid, Hayotze Mehen Mutter, the liquid that exudes from the fruit be permitted. Ve'im lemashkin, however, if the fruits have been collected there for juices, hayotze mehen also, that which comes out from the fruits will be forbidden. Well, now, let us, to understand the background of this Mishnah, take note that the two principal fruits of the land of Israel that were used for their juices were the grapes and the olives. The grapes for the grape juice turned into wine, and the olives for their oil. And everybody in this discussion agrees that grapes and olives, even if they've been collected in for food, it'll be forbidden to, if juices did exude from them on the Shabbat. On that Shabbat, those juices could not be consumed. After the Shabbat, they may be, but even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that even if the grapes and olives were collected for, were gathered for food, the juices on the Shabbat were forbidden. The sages, for their part, who in the earlier part of the Mishnah say that apparently that any juices that come out even by themselves would be forbidden, they would agree, according to Talmud, with Rabbi Yehuda, that in the case of fruits other than grapes and olives, that would be, if the fruits have been gathered in for food, since the person's intention was not to bring them in for their juices, they could take the juices that flowed out. The whole machloket, the whole division of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and the other sages, relates to fruits other than olives and grapes, fruits that are often but not always used for their juices. Examples in our time would be oranges and lemons and apples. So as a rule of the halacha, only in the case of fruits which are not used specifically for their juices, but which are gathered in for food, if juice did exude on the Shabbat, it may be used on that Shabbat. But those fruits that are used for their juices, one certainly may not squeeze them. And if the fruits were collected for their juice, one may not use the juice that flows out from on the Shabbat. With that, we come on to another related issue, and that is of the honey flowing out of a honeycomb. Chalois devash, literally the loaves of honey, the combs of the honey. Shiriskon me'erev Shabbos. If the person had crushed the honeycomb from before Shabbat, v'yotzu me'atzmon, and the honey flowed out by itself, asurin, that honey will be forbidden to use on the Shabbat. Because we are using the honeycombs for their honey, which is going to flow out of the wax comb, therefore we are fearful, according to the Tanakhama, that the person, if we allow him even to take the honey that flowed out by itself, that he will come to infringe the prohibition against squeezing. Rabbi Eliezer does not concern himself with this. Rabbi Eliezer Matir, he permits the honey to be used on the Shabbat if the comb was crushed from before the Shabbat. He would certainly forbid the crushing of the comb for its honey on the Shabbat. This would relate in practice particularly to those people who on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah would like to have a honeycomb on the table. It's preferable not to do this, to make sure that the honey has been squeezed out of the wax before the Yom Tov, since the law here of squeezing on Yom Tov will be similar to that of the law on the Shabbat. The halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha is like the sages in this Mishnah. Coming now to the second Mishnah, we go into a related subject of the preparation of foods on Shabbat, but here we're talking about rabbinical decrees on account of the prohibitions of cooking on the Shabbat. So here we come to a general principle. Kol shebo b'chamin me'erev Shabbos, shodin oisoi b'chamin b'Shabbos. Anything that had come into hot water from before Shabbat, you may place it in hot liquids on Shabbat. An example would be a portion of chicken that had been cooked before the Shabbat, if it had been boiled in water, and also if it was already cooked already by roasting. In either way, since it's already cooked, there is no prohibition about putting it into hot liquids on Shabbat. You could take the cold piece of chicken, the portion of chicken from before the Shabbat, and put it into a plate of hot chicken soup if you wished, because once it has already been cooked, there is no fear that it's going to be cooked once again in the hot liquid. The converse, kol sheloi bo b'chamin me'erev Shabbat. Any food that had not been cooked, it had not been exposed to hot liquids from before the Shabbat, medichin oisei b'chamin b'shamas. You could rinse it over with hot water on the Shabbat. Merely rinsing it in a hot gravy, that would not be sufficient to cook uncooked food. So it would be permitted, somebody who had a portion of chicken that if they chose to eat raw or semi-cooked chicken, they would be allowed to pour the hot gravy or the hot soup over it, because that is also not considered to be cooking the uncooked portion of food. And the same would apply it would be permitted to pour hot soup over a slice of bread from before the Shabbat, and but that applies only to a food that is not going to be rendered edible through the pouring of hot liquid over it. So here the Mishnah goes on to an exception, a number of exceptions. The above rule of pouring hot liquid over a food that had not been cooked from before the Shabbat, that does not apply in the following cases. Chutz min hamoliach, ayoshon. With the exception of the moliach, the salted fish or the salted meat, yoshon, the old salted meat, in times before freezers and refrigerators, the only way to preserve meat and fish was to salt them heavily, and that way they could keep over long periods of time. They were not cooked before being salted. They were salted, and the salt preserved them. Dogim meluchim, likewise salted fish, dogim meluchim ketanin, the small salted fish, v'kulias ho'isponin, the kulias ha'isponin, I don't know whether the isponin relates to our name Spain and whether this is some kind of sardine. It is some kind of species of fish that has a very fine skin. And the reason why it's prohibited to pour hot water over these salted meat or fish, or these salt fish, small salt fish, or the kulia species, is because hadochoson zoi gemar malachton. Hadochoson, the rinsing of these species, that will be the completion of the malacha, the completion of the labor that renders them fit to eat, and therefore it will be forbidden to rinse them in hot water on the Shabbat. But as the Mishnah previously stated, food that was cooked from before the Shabbat, it would be permitted to put that food into a hot plate of soup to pour hot gravy over it.